Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Lynch, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. I was talking earlier, I was over at the Bloomington Ice Gardens today, and every time I go over there, you know, that area of France, and you're pretty soon there's Normandale, and there's Bloomington Jefferson. And I mean, that really was a sacred time, wasn't it? Not just for your basketball career, but for what Jefferson was doing. And it was the western suburb. It was, you know, prestigious West Bloomington, all those things. But that period of time from the 70s to the 90s, That was pretty special, wasn't it, in that part?
Boy, no question. It was a glorious time to be at a school like Jefferson, you know, because it was, you know, like what Wayzata and Eden Prairie and the Lakeville schools are now.
Yeah.
That's what Jefferson was back then. I mean, you look at from, let's say, 1981 when they won their first hockey state championship, and then the next year they won a boys basketball championship. So from basically 1981 to the mid-90s when they were winning all those hockey championships, Jefferson was one of the premier athletic programs and schools in the state of Minnesota. So it was, and I was right smack dab in the middle of that time. So yeah, it was a great time to be at a school like that then.
And enrollment rules, doesn't it? I mean, it's always a matter of numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, my graduating class was, I think, 670 or 680. Wow. So it was a huge school at that point, and now it's about half that size as far as the class sizes.
Did you ever go over to Normandale and play basketball there? They got that nice gym, and it's so close.
Are you kidding? I was just talking about this with somebody else recently. Back in those days, it was probably kind of somewhat of a miracle in some ways that we were winning championships, because we could hardly ever get into our own high school.
I know. The rules that they had back then, if it wasn't practice time or school day, you had no chance.
Yeah. So what we used to do, you brought up Normandale Community College, because my two oldest brothers went there their first couple of years of college. I used to go down to the college, and you could get into the building, but a lot of times the door would be locked to get into the gym.
Yep.
But all you had to do, Mike, I don't know if one of my brothers taught me this, is grab the handle to the door that was locked, and if you pulled it hard enough, it would just open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just pull the door open, get in the gym, and then turn on the lights and shoot around down at the Normandale. And sometimes Ron Levensey, their head coach at Normandale for men's basketball, would come in there, and he'd be looking to kick out whoever was in the gym. Then he would see it was me, and like my older brothers played for him. And he'd be like, "Oh, you're fine, Kevin." So he'd just let me be alone in the gym and shoot around.
Aren't those great memories, though, when you just had a gym to yourself?
100%. 100. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. You could be anybody you wanted on that floor during those times, couldn't you?
Yeah, it was. In fact, if I was in, it didn't matter where I was at. It could be at Lifetime or back then, Northwest or whatever, or down at Normandale or at Jefferson. And I'd be shooting around in an empty gym, and somebody else would come into the gym and want to shoot at the same basket. I'd be like,
I never understood that. Get away from me. Yeah. When people do that, when you've got a basket, because kind of the gentleman's agreement at health clubs and whatnot is if you got a hoop, it's your hoop, right?
Yes.
And that's just the way it is. Yeah. And most people understand that, but every once in a while, and you're going, really? Really? And I just got hit in the head by the ball that you shot, the air ball that you shot, you know?
Yeah. So when you were at Gaylord, I mean, did you have the key to the gym?
No, we had to work so hard to get it. It was a treat. And my dad was the one time head basketball coach there, but he wasn't when I was going through school. But we had to work so hard. And then I found a, there was a door on one side that many times, for whatever reason, would not get locked, right? And and it was an ancillary door. And I think just during the course of a week, maybe when the janitors did their check, they'd forget about this. So you'd test it, and half the time it would be open. And then you'd sneak in there. And I can remember exactly the way you went, and you'd hit the lights, and you'd turn them on, and you'd play. And with a couple of buddies or whatever, and you'd hope, because the gym you couldn't see, you know, you had to be in the school to see if it was in the gym, and you would just hope that no one from the faculty was coming in that day, you know, or anybody that had reason to kick you out, you know. But I used to just love, I tell you what, you're taking me down nostalgia lane, but I used to love when you'd go into the locker room, especially before you're on the varsity team, right?
Yeah.
And the smells, right? The laundry and the basketballs, and they'd be on this rack, and or you'd see the jerseys hanging in one room, and you aspired to wear that jersey one day, and there was nobody else in there. I bet you if I smell that smell again, it just comes back to me, because it was so exciting, you know, to think about the possibility. You know, you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, big time. I mean, you got to factor in, like, at least where I grew up in Bloomington, it was literally right across the street from Jefferson. So, yep. And my dad was a teacher. He was a coach.
And he couldn't get you in?
Yeah. For some reason, he never had access to the keys. And I don't know if he would have given it to us if we would have asked him if he had had keys. But my point is I grew up right across the street from the school. And so, I mean, in my entire life, I grew up running around in the hallways, shooting in the gym.
Yep.
And just, it was a big fun house when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, just the whole school
environment. Sure, you'd be down with sixth grade school, but you could go to the varsity practice because your dad was coaching, right?
That's exactly what I'd run home after, because elementary school would get out after the high school. So I would run home after elementary school, throw my books down, and then walk right across the street into the gym. And since my dad was one of the coaches, and a lot of times my brother, one or two of my brothers were on the team, I would walk into the gym, and since I was the coach's kid, I could be in there.
Yep.
So I would grab a ball and start shooting around. I mean, I grew up in that gymnasium.
And little did you know, the other coach was saying, boy, wait until that Lynch kid gets big. He's going to be something special.
I don't know if they're saying that, but they might have. I spent a lot. I grew up in a gym. So, I mean, basketball, this might be kind of a sad thing to admit, but I probably know basketball better than I know just about anything else. And that's because I was a kid, and I was soaking it all in when I was, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade and growing up. I mean, that's where I grew up.
Yep. And nothing wrong with that, man. Now, advancing that conversation, we saw Anthony Edwards put on a show last night with 42 points. What have been your thoughts of him this year as you've watched him?
Well, it's been pretty, well, number one, he's getting better and more energetic as the season goes on, which is kind of rare. I don't know if people talk about that as much. It seems like a lot of these young kids, especially when you're 19 years old like he is, you tend to wear down a little bit, and it seems like as the season draws to an end, you don't play quite as well because you're kind of looking forward to the end of the season. Your body's a little bit tired. You've never played this many games before. But this guy just keeps getting better, and it seems like he's more energized than he was a month ago or 3 months ago. So that's impressive. And like what he's doing, Mike, too, is he's just playing. I mean, there's like not a whole lot of structure to what he's doing.
No.
And it's almost like he just goes out there and just plays, and that's all he worries about. And it's pretty impressive, his talent. He's really an impressive physical specimen for a guy 6'5". And he likes the contact. He likes the grind of it. You know, he's turning into an all-around player. There were some question marks before the draft, whether last year's draft was any good.
Yeah, I know.
But this kid is proving that he's the real deal. And I know LaMelo Ball has had a good season too, but Edwards has been a stud.
Yeah, Ball's good. Wiseman hasn't played enough to know, but he looks like he's a good player out there in Golden State. They were the big three coming in. I'm not sold on Russell. Not that I don't like it. I think he's really good. I just don't know when you study his history whether or not you can count on him for long term.
Yeah, I know. That's a question mark. And I think, you know, I think when it's all said and done, if the end of the season continues like this, there's going to be a lot of people in the media, and probably even the Wolves, for that matter, too, are kind of wondering, you know, is he going to play better? Can he play better? Is this as good as he's going to be? And because, you know, you're not going to win at that level unless you have a point guard that gets it done. And he's out of the lineup, and then when he does play, he's a little bit up and down. So he's got to play well. And so hopefully he does. And he's a talented guy, but, you know, I think this season hasn't been his best for sure.
What do you think next year at this time we'll be saying about Jalen Suggs? You saw him play many times in high school. Obviously, we all saw him play for Gonzaga this last year. What will we be saying a year from now about this kid based on your trajectory of him?
I don't know how good he's going to be at the NBA level.
Would you play him as a pure point guard almost, or what would you do with him?
To me, he's always kind of been a combo guard, but there's a lot of combo point guards in the NBA that are good scorers and shooters. I think he's got a chance. Well, first of all, let me say this about Suggs is when, you know, maybe midway through this NBA season, you're looking at mock drafts and they're projecting him to be one of the top five picks. First of all, I was like, whoa, really? I didn't anticipate him being one of the top guys taken in the draft this summer, so I didn't see that coming, but it looks like that's what's going to happen. But, you know, he's a good shooter. He's a super competitive kid. So, you know, in the modern NBA level right now, I think if you're a point guard that can score and shoot a little bit, that's going to help you, obviously. Can he play make? Can he run a team? To me, those are question marks to a degree. But he's committed to, he's a super competitive kid. And he plays defense, and he's got some grittiness himself. So I think he's got a chance to be a good player now. Is he going to be an NBA All-Star? I don't know about that. But he'll have a long career. He'll make a lot of dough, and he'll be happy.
What about Holmgren? What do you see from him as you look at his game and how it's going to translate?
He is such an unusual guy that he's another question mark. I mean, you know, it's hard to judge him right now. Watching him in high school the last few years because he's so skinny, and I remember when Eden Prairie played against those guys last year, they had a 6 foot, one of Eden Prairie's, kind of role player guards kind of shut him down just by getting underneath him and playing physical with them. So it's going to be interesting to see a Holmgren play against guys at the NBA level once he gets there that are 6'7" and 250 and are just, these guys are strong as an ox, and they get underneath him and start to push him around. Now, if he can really handle a ball at the NBA level, he'll be able to shake free from guys like that. But physically, he's going to get pushed around so much, which should make it interesting. But if he can handle the ball, Mike, and he can prove to be a face-up shooter, he's got a chance to be really good at the NBA level.
Yeah, Nowitzki-like, although you always hate to use a person to throw out as a name like that. But, I'm watching the Gopher roster, and it's just it's like nothing we've ever seen. I see this transfer rule, and I can't keep up with who's even on the team anymore and who's gone. I don't know how this is going to, when the dust settles, what it's going to look like. But what are your thoughts on what has become now, the transfer way of college basketball? And how would you go about coaching through that?
Man, it's like the Wild West. I don't even know what the rule is with that. Is there a rule right now that you can only go into this portal one time and then the next college you go to, you have to stay, or can you just keep leaving?
As of now, you get a one-time freebie.
Okay.
And so, but what their think was, that was heading in that direction where you were going to have freedom to transfer. There's not a hard and fast rule yet on it, but for now, you can go anywhere you want and you're eligible.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't control this, I just worry about some of these programs, like Minnesota is going to be a good example. If they don't win next year, then a bunch of guys leave again and you never get out of a hole. And you don't build a team around, freshmen and they stay for 4 or 5 years and you're going to be perpetually in trouble and you're never going to get out of that hole. So you still have to build teams, I think, at that level.
I think it's a mess when I think about it, when you start talking about it like that, Kevin. You're exactly right. The only people that are going to want to come and play their transfers are the ones that are saying, you know, that aren't doing well at another school and say, well, maybe I can get some minutes at Minnesota, but that's not how you win, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's going to be like, if you don't win, everybody leaves. Then you bring a bunch of new guys in, and maybe you don't win with those guys, and then everybody leaves. And that's what I'm saying, is you stay in this losing hole that you can't get out of. And I remember I was on your show maybe a year or two ago, Mike, and you asked me the same question about all this movement. And I didn't really understand at the time.
I didn't either.
how big this is going to get. But this is, I mean, to me, this is a problem. And if they don't, you know, limit how many times you can move schools, a program like Minnesota is going to really, you know, struggle, you know, moving forward. So it's going to be hard for Ben Johnson to really build something, because as soon as you don't hear what you want to hear as a young kid, I'm gone. I'm going to leave. Well, I'm going to go. I mean, look at Marcus Carr.
Marcus Carr's on his third school now if he ends up at another school.
Yeah, exactly. And he had the green light 100% last year.
Yeah, and he got to score 40 against Nebraska, right? There was nothing holding him back.
So, and yet he still leaves. Yeah. So right there, he could do whatever he wanted for the Gophers last year, and he still leaves. I mean, that's a sign right there of, this is trouble where this is going.
All right. So last thing, I just got a text from my man Ivy, who was one of the guys who used to sneak in the gym with me, and he says, Kevin spoke to the Sibley East basketball team in our old gym. Do you remember that?
I actually don't remember that, but hopefully whatever I said was halfway intelligent.
Well, I just wanted you to know where I played. I was hoping that you got a feel for, you know, why I became the player that I did.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I hope to see you at the health club soon.
Good to hear your voice, Mike.
You too. Kevin Lynch, nice enough to join us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.